For a great cup of joe, there's one thing you should know. Your morning brew can also be playful. Buff Boy Brewing guys make the temperature rise, and you surely feel naughty when you swallow our coffee. If you want some real heat, give your mouth a fine treat. You will want some more, rest assured. Buff Boy Brewing, you can't get enough of.
It's time for The Scribble, your weekly fix of celebrity chats, bizarre stories in the news, and basic random chatter with best-selling author and syndicated radio host Jeremy Bradley. Make sure your seat is in the upright and locked position and your barf bag is securely in place. Here's Jeremy Bradley.
Thank you very much, Larson. Jeremy Bradley here. This is The Scribble. Thanks for tuning in at thescribbleshow.com and on SoundCloud and iTunes. Can you believe it is January 12th already? You know, my friend was in from Brazil at Christmas time, and again, I said to him a week after he had left, I was like, you know, it was just like a week ago that you were in my house, and now you're back in Brazil already. Like, it's crazy that time flies. Although that... yeah, time, I guess, sort of stood still. I don't know what I'm getting at. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. January 12th here on The Scribble. And lots to talk about because, you know, the week started off with the Golden Globes on Sunday. I'm going to chime in with my thoughts about that. Also, how I felt the wrath after a tweet on Sunday to Justin Timberlake. I'll tell you about that coming up. There's just lots to talk about. I also, we've got a few more stories for you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk Golden Globes and my disastrous tweet.
Who are the Kardashians feuding with now? What did that little thug Justin Bieber do this time? Who's getting hitched and who's headed for Splitsville? Hear the latest celebrity news and gossip every day. An entertainment wrap-up. The good, the bad, the ugly, but mostly the ridiculously hilarious. It's all recapped in this daily segment at entertainmentwrapup.com. Have a laugh at the expense of the rich and famous when they take themselves way too seriously. It's 3 minutes of time-wasting fun at entertainmentwrapup.com. Check out Entertainment Wrap-Up at entertainmentwrapup.com. Brought to you by Speak Free Books.
JB here, back at the controls on The Scribble. The Golden Globes. I think everybody has an opinion about how this whole sexual harassment, woman empowerment thing, why we wear black, time's up, all these movements, everybody has an opinion, whether you're for it or against it. Now, here's the deal. I'm all for people speaking up and having strength to come forward and say if they've been a victim or what have you. Okay, don't get me wrong. I don't want this. And I don't want to turn this into a man-woman thing, because I think that's also sort of what's happening. So case in point, the Golden Globes. Normally, when we kick off awards show season, it's kind of fun to watch these shows from the comfort of your home and just kind of laugh at these people, these celebrities that just, you know, take themselves way too seriously. This is the only industry that I know of where they continuously pat themselves on the back. And I'll give you an example quickly and then I'll get back to my story. When you think of doctors or firefighters or first responders in general, whatever, there are not awards for the most lives saved in a year. You don't have one for firefighters, you know, longest yard dash with fire victim on your shoulder, right? I'm grasping at straws here, but you get what I'm leading towards here, is there are some far more noble careers and professions, life-changing, world-changing careers, but they're not awarded. Have you ever seen on a national TV broadcast firefighters, you know, getting awards for things like that? You don't really. You might on the news, but I'm talking like a prime time special. There's no national award show when it comes to firemen, doctors, anybody like that. So when you think of the celebrity world, and every other weekend in January is an award show, starts with the Globes, then Screen Actors Guild, then Grammys, which is music, and, you know, People's Choice has now moved to, I think it's November, but that used to start off January. And so this is an industry that really likes rewarding itself. And it's typically a funny night, the Golden Globes, because people end up drinking, right? This is the one show that they drink at, and you never know what to expect. But there was such a serious tone this year, obviously with this movement of everybody wearing black and speaking out about equality and fairness and decency, really, is what it ends up being. And so there was a different tone. The show was not fun to watch. And again, everybody everybody chimed in on it. Now, I thought that with Seth Meyers hosting and doing the monologue, that that might have been enough. I thought, okay, you get it out of the system. You kind of make the political statements, you make all of those jokes about Hollywood and the men or whatever it is, and then you move on. And then you have a fun award show. Instead, the tone was just very negative. And as the show went on, you've got the women kind of making comments about men, right? The best director category, that it's all men. And then all of a sudden you see the guys, you see the nominees in the audience. They're not smiling now that they're being announced. They almost feel shame. And I thought, you know, when you go up, you almost have to apologize for being a man at the beginning of your acceptance speech. Like, I thought that was really unfair to do to the guys. It's not my fault I got nominated for this award. You don't take a shot at me and make me feel awkward or uncomfortable about it, right? I mean, it's just, that's, I felt like it was inappropriate. But again, it just seemed like it was a great night to be ashamed to be a man. It was a shame to have a penis is what ended up being. And, you know, I don't know, it was just a really weird night. Like, you're sitting on the edge of your seat because you're wanting to hear maybe somebody's now going to get really controversial in their statements, right? They're going to do it. But I have to say that as a guy watching it, yeah, it was sort of uncomfortable to have to sit there and listen to that. Now, I've talked, obviously, with many people since Sunday night, and some people just stopped watching altogether because it was just a little preachy. It was all about activism. And again, don't get me wrong, there's millions of people watching. So if there's anybody, you know, celebrities are looked up to, and you often hear that they're idols for people or whatever it is. And so I get that. I get it. Problem being, though, is that it just became a lot. Like, there was just, it was so much. And yeah, it was just overshadowed. The actual awards were overshadowed. And like I said, don't get me wrong, I'm the one of the first people to criticize Hollywood patting itself on the back and tooting its own horn and trumpeting its accomplishments. So it was sort of a nice change at the beginning, but yeah, it was sort of just overpowering. And then it makes you wonder what's going to happen for the rest of the award show season, right? The SAG Awards coming up, and, you know, what's going to happen? So, yeah, I don't know. And then, well, I'm not going to get into the Oprah thing. Oprah for president. That's just, I think that one's already being played out to death. Now, a couple of hours before the Golden Globes were handed out on Sunday, I don't even want to say I put my foot in my mouth, because I still don't think that I said anything wrong. People just misinterpreted this. Now, I think I've mentioned on, you know, I have tweeted something and people just take it the wrong way and just attack. Now, again, on social media, it's not just enough to disagree with somebody. You have to go on full on attack mode. It's no different than when a celebrity, you know, somebody on a TV show screws up, and then everybody calls for a boycott of the show and tells the advertisers to bail and tells the network to cancel it and all this other stuff. Well, that's sort of the mentality these days, is it's like people feel they've got the power to destroy your career and your life. Thankfully, that didn't happen to me. But let's get to that story. Justin Timberlake, earlier on Sunday, had tweeted a picture of Jessica Alba. And he said, "Damn, my wife is hot." And then he used the hashtags, "Why We Wear Black" and "Times Up." You know, all the hashtags that were trending anyway. Okay? And I thought that seemed like a contradiction, right? "Damn, my wife is hot," and then you use the hashtags "Why We Wear Black" and "Time's Up" and, you know, all those other ones, all the women empowering ones. People are freaking out, and I'm actually just scrolling on Twitter right now. We're days later, and people are still commenting. Here's somebody in all caps. "He is talking about his wife of 5 years, dude. It is still okay for people to love and be attracted to each other." And so many people missed my point. And I will say what my point is, in case you didn't catch it. But again, these were Justin Timberlake fans, I'm assuming, that were chiming in and ripping me to shreds. My point is, you are putting it out there that your wife is hot, and then you're using hashtags for campaigns that are kind of telling people women aren't objects and are equal and are people. And that's what I'm saying. He is objectifying his wife by commenting on her looks. He didn't say, "my talented, nominated, such and such wife." Even if he just said "beautiful," okay, fine. But when you go and say "hot," that instantly is editorializing and commenting on her looks as though that's really all she's about. And people, and again, this one tweet had, I think, almost 200,000 impressions and hundreds of comments that haven't stopped, really. And And then people are just name-calling me and you know, just saying all these horrible things. And I find it really funny that you can read so much in the wrong direction or think so much in the wrong direction by a comment like that. Here I thought that I'm actually kind of sticking up for women, really, when you think about it. I'm saying, oh, you know, that's probably not the best comment to use with these hashtags. You're sort of missing the mark. And then people are going and saying, oh, no, I want my man can call me hot and blah, blah, blah. And I say that my wife is hot all the time. And I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. You're not getting it. Now, there were a few people that did chime in and agree. And they said, you're right. You know, that with those hashtags, that's probably not the best thing. But for the most part, the majority of people just took it so way off. And then you've got these, again, people are, you know, commenting on like my looks and all these other things and then posting my profile picture when they just reply to nothing. And I didn't quite get that. That might be a social media trolling thing that I don't quite understand. I'm not really that up to speed all the time on social media stuff. But nevertheless, it was like I felt the mob. So I ended up replying to one saying, okay, so if it was another man who said that about a guy's wife, you know, the mob would be there castrating him. Like, you know, it's very sort of one-sided, as though it's okay for the husband to objectify the wife, but I can't say that about another woman then, because that's just not right. Anyway, I'd love to know your thoughts on this. Don't tweet me, because I'm sick of reading tweets about it. Live@jbonair.com. Live@jbonair.com. Seriously, I was kind of sticking up for women, going, it's, you know, this movement, these movements that we're hearing about women empowerment, female equality, all those things, and you go and treat a woman like a piece of meat. I get that they're in love. I get that they're married. I'm not saying that he shouldn't find her attractive. I'm saying what he said in that context with those hashtags, considering the movement and sensitive times that we're in, was it appropriate? Live@jbonair.com. Live@jbonair.com. We're back right after this.
Ever had something to get off your chest but never had the balls to say it? That's a load of crap. Speak Free with JB.com is exactly what you've been waiting for. Your chance to tell it like it is and not care what anybody else thinks. Have your say on issues of the day. Join newspaper and radio columnist Jeremy Bradley as he tells it like it is. Hundreds of thousands of people have stopped by, including some well-known celebrities who have had a chat with JB and speak candidly about what's really going on in the world. You can join them too. Have a rant or a rave. Be brave and head on over to www.speakfreewithjb.com now.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on The Scribble. I got a little fired up in that last segment, a little worked up retelling that story. Just my face is warm, my ears are hot. I just, anyway, it reminds me, actually, I was late coming in the other day because I was at a restaurant and I was overhearing. Do you like listening to couples fight when you're out in public? So I'm at the restaurant. I was just there by myself, just doing some notes on my phone and emailing, and just I needed a break. I needed to get away. So I was out having some food, and this woman, I'm assuming it was either boyfriend, husband, on the phone, she would call him and say that she needed the $50 because she got some kind of boots for him. I didn't catch the beginning of it, but she needs the money because she spent money on boots for him, and she's short $50 and she needs money because of the boots. That's all. She kept repeating herself. And so she'd call, and I guess he was either giving one-word answers or sort of giving her the brush off, and then she would say, well, who are you with? You're with somebody. Who are you with? And then he'd hang up. Because I'd see her look at her phone, that's when she realized that he hung up on her. So she'd dial again, and then he wouldn't answer, or he'd hit ignore, or whatever it is, and so she'd look at the phone again, and then she'd dial, it would ring, 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 it would stop, then she'd look at her phone again, so he's hanging up or doing whatever, and then he would answer again, and then she would be more direct. I need my money. And then he'd say whatever he said. Where are you? Who are you with? You're with somebody. Who are you with? And then she'd look at her phone again, as though he hung up on her. And this was just the best, because what ended up happening was they played this game. For me, I would just say, turn off your phone, buddy. If you are with somebody, now she's just killing whatever you're doing, if you're cheating or what. Not that I'm condoning cheating, but what I'm saying is, like, they're playing this game, though, right? He wouldn't answer if he didn't plan to hang up on her and just cause more drama, right? That's what I've never really understood about relationships. If he's out doing something duplicitous, there we are, that's a good word for this podcast, hey? If he's out there, then he's just not going to answer at all. So obviously there's some kind of fight. He knows that it's getting her revved up and pissing her off even more. And then when she starts laying into him, he hangs up, ends it, and then, you know, they play the game of not answering, da-da-da-da-da, right? That's kind of how it is. And so I was late coming in because I just needed to listen to this play out. It was so entertaining that I couldn't leave. I was like, who's going to get the final word? Like, is she going to get her $50? Is she going to finally hear what he's doing? Because he's up to something. She's on to him. But yeah, and then she ended up leaving, I guess. You know, she paid and then was gone. So it was just, it was fascinating though to hear it play out. If you've ever heard a couple, like, I'm one of those people who I'm like, you know what? I will be pleasant, and if there's a problem, you will know it by the look on my face. You will know there's an issue, and you know you're going to get in crap when we get home. But I'm not going to have the argument in public. It is not going to play out. Nobody's going to hear this, because I just feel, one, that's embarrassing to do, for myself anyway, and for your partner. And two, it's like, it's causing a scene. Like, this, it's personal, it's private. I've also seen, somebody was showing me the other day on Facebook? Or somewhere on social media, let's say it was Facebook, somewhere on social media, a couple basically having an argument back and forth through posts on the page. And again, I'm kind of looking at that going, why are you doing that? Why? What is the purpose of this? Like, why do you want all of your friends and everybody? And again, maybe it's you're wanting people to take sides, right? Maybe that's a cry to have your friends call you and be like, oh, you don't listen to her. Don't listen to him. He's a jerk. She's a bitch. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't get it. And yeah, and it's like, even in family get-togethers, here I'm going to start, you know, throwing family members under the bus. Like, my cousin, I'm going to say cousins plural so that I'm not singling anybody out. There we are. My cousins will sometimes, and the female cousins will sometimes, like, snap at the husband. And it's like, you're in front of your entire family. Like, for me, I don't know. I kind of like, no. And so it's happened to me where I've, you know, we'll be out somewhere. Let's say it's a family thing. And I'll just kind of look and be like, you know, don't do that, all right? Just stop that, or I told you not to say that. So nobody knows that there's an issue. Nobody knows there's a problem. It's discreet, it's quiet, and you know damn well you're going to get torn to shreds when we get home. Unless you do something to make nice. Send me an email, live@jbonair.com, live@jbonair.com. I would love to hear your thoughts on this, because especially when it comes to relationships. Again, I'm very fascinated with how people communicate or not communicate. It's very fun. Speaking of communication, I have a fun story about being a crossing guard when I was a kid. Were you ever, it was called a patrol when I was in elementary school. I was reliving some memories when I saw some people, some kids out crossing children at an intersection. I've got my crossing guard story coming up right after this.
It's never too early to start thinking about your next holiday. Have you checked out Mexico recently? From tequila tasting, swimming with horses, to zip lining through the jungle, and watching whales and dolphins in their natural habitat, Puerto Vallarta has it all. Visit mexico.jbonair.com to see all the fun PV has to offer. That's at mexico.jbonair.com for hundreds of photos, interviews, and videos from around the tourist hotspot. Check out mexico.jbonair.com for all the fun. That's mexico.jbonair.com.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on The Scribble. Thanks again for tuning in at thescribbleshow.com and on SoundCloud and iTunes. Please do subscribe if you have not already done so. Would love for you to tune in week after week. And, you know, there are times when we do have celebrity guests on the show, but I really enjoy just being able to rant and rave and spew my thoughts for 30 minutes and then hear your emails or read your emails and hear from you, because I love getting people's opinions. That's why I started writing my newspaper column, well, over 12 years ago. And then the website is speakfreewithjb.com, right? And it's great to hear people's opinions. So I always love when you chime in, live@jbonair.com. The other day, I saw some crossing guards near a school, and it reminded me of back in the day when I was in It was grade 5, or grade 4, or grade 5. And again, in Canada, we call it grade 4, grade 5, grade 6, not 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade. So I was in grade 4, and I became, like, the leader of the patrols, and you got the orange vest. And I remember there was just such a sense of power. It was so, like, I felt high and mighty because I, one, was going to be keeping kids safe, and two, I was in control of those kids. They would have to listen to me and do what I say. And it was fun because it gave you a sense of responsibility, and I was the patrol leader. So I didn't get just the little raggedy orange and yellow vest like the other kids did, or the little flag that was torn or had a piece missing out of it. I got the nice vest with a little badge, and it Velcroed in the front, and yeah, I was kind of the patrol leader. And really, I think what that meant, I don't recall exactly, but I think what it meant was that I was kind of the one who made sure that everybody was on time, and I kind of made sure that everybody got back into school. Like, that's, I think, what it meant. It meant an ego, really, is what it meant for me. And so we took it very seriously. My friend Greg, who lived two doors down from our house, he was also a patrol. We were in the same class. And when we got our vests, again, it was just a really big deal. We went outside, and we were practicing on the front street, crossing, where we were doing, you know, you step out, you put your one arm out, you hold the flag, and then you kind of wave the other one behind you, like you just let one rip, right? You kind of do the waving of the hand or the arm. And I remember doing this outside for I don't even know how long. And again, it was just great for us because we couldn't wait to start on Monday or whatever day it was. And there was one day, though, when there were two kids that used to live across the street from us. Fun fact, by the way, they actually still live across the street from my parents. I haven't lived at home for, it's been now 10 years. And these guys are in their 30s, if I'm not mistaken, and both still live at home. And they're a couple years younger than me, and they were sort of like, you know, dawdling one day and kind of like wrestling or, you know, pushing each other. And it was winter, and in Canada, very cold in the winter, and we were freezing outside on our patrol corner. And so I remember yelling, "Hurry up or you're reported." That was kind of the big threat. Children, students wouldn't want to be reported, right? Because you're being told on, you're getting in trouble at that point. Again, I don't remember exactly who you were reported to. I just remember you would say to them, "Hurry up or you're reported." Well, the two kids that lived across the street, I guess, went home and told their mom, who's our neighbor, my parents' friend. And all of a sudden, at lunchtime when I'm at home, I answer the phone because it's her call. She called. We couldn't see who it was at the time. There was no call display. Caller ID, you just had to answer, right? That was when you answered every call. And so she laid into me. Now, I was on the phone that we had in the kitchen, which had a very long cord, so I took it around the corner into my room and kind of closed the door as much as I could with the cord in the way. And she just screamed at me and told me off and said not to threaten my kids and blah, 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 whatever. And I just thought, wow. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was terrified that, like, I was then going to get in trouble from my mom. I thought, that's the next step, is I'm in shit from mom. And then as I got older, now that I'm rethinking about the story, I'm like, wait a second, why wouldn't she just call and talk to my mom anyway, like, level-headed? Instead, she calls and she's flying off the handle to, how old was I? Maybe 10? Maybe 11? You know, not, well, maybe a little bit older, I don't even know. And yeah, and I'm like, wow, here's this grown-ass woman tearing to shred, or calling to shred this, you know, this kid who said that your kids are reported. Meanwhile, they're the ones dawdling and making us stand outside and freeze. And now, fast forward, you know, 20 years later, and the kids are still living at home. So it seems like mom is very protective and very, very motherly to them. I don't know. But it was fun to be a patrol. Again, you know, the responsibility that you feel, the power that you feel. But at the end of the day, you know, I kind of like, I look at it going, I am putting myself at risk by stepping in front of cars at a red light, hoping they stop and see me, just so that these kids can get to school. Yeah, maybe I'm not the most charitable person now, but yeah, it was kind of like, all right, cool. But anyway. And yeah, it's not something that you put on your resume, is it? That you were a crossing guard or a patrol? Were you, I want to hear, if you were one of these, if you had this type of a role, send me an email, live@jbonair.com, live@jbonair.com. Speaking of resumes, Do we have another break? No, we don't have another break, so we're going to go right through until the end. Good stuff. Thank you, Bonnie. Years ago, when I worked in an office, and again, this is going back well over, like, 10 years ago, I was, you know, an assistant manager at Party City. Like, I had a couple supervisory roles at workplaces. And, now, you know, a lot of people would leave the companies or the store or whatever it was and go on to other things and would often ask if I could be a reference, a job reference for them. And I think I always said yes, just because it would be rude if I said no, right? Because it's like you don't like the person or you didn't think they were a good employee. So I did say yes to pretty much everybody that had asked me, just to be nice, right? And if I didn't like them, I thought, well, giving them a good reference will get them out of here, though, right? Like, and then they're not my problem anymore anyway. They're somebody else. They're on somebody else's payroll. They're somebody else's burden at that problem. So that's when I started, yeah, I'm like, yeah, fine, I'll be a reference for you. I'm not kidding. Last summer, when I was out walking my dogs, I get a call on my my cell phone, as I'm out walking, and it was this girl. She, you know, said, oh, hi, Jeremy, it's so-and-so from such-and-such company. Again, I hadn't worked there in I don't know how long. And the name kind of was familiar to me. Kind of. And she's like, how are you? I'm like, good, how are you? Naturally, you gotta wonder what's up when somebody you don't really remember all of a sudden calls you up out of the blue. And she said, do you remember that I had asked you to be a job reference for me? And I was like, yeah, of course. Well, I applied for a job at da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I just want to know if I can use you as a reference. And so I was like, yeah, okay, sure, fine. And that's really all she wanted. Like, you know, I know that. I know that she wasn't calling to see how I'm doing or what's new or anything like that, because I'd never even talked to her outside of the office. But the worst part was, I didn't remember her. Didn't remember her at all. And like I said, the name kind of sounded familiar, but again, years later, I remember the people that really stuck out, right? Like either the really, really bad people, the really, really good people, but if you were just sort of in between, you didn't make an impression, they don't really remember you. But that's to be expected, right? Do you remember every one of your classmates from school? You know, like you forget some people. Maybe if you see them, you'd recognize them or, you know, you have some sort of connection or reconnection with them. Okay, fine. But I didn't remember this person at all. And I said yes. And then I kind of started thinking, I'm like, wow, I wonder if she's just screwing with me. Like, I wonder if she got my number from, like, somebody else and just, you know, would throw me for a loop and be like, yeah, you remember your promise? I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, fine. So she could have been very well getting the last laugh if that was the case, right? And about 2 days later, again, I'm out walking the dogs, and I see there's a phone number from another area code, so it wasn't anybody local. And that's not uncommon either, you know, just in business and with what I do. But I certainly wasn't expecting a call, you know, at that time of the day or just, you know, an unknown one, because most people don't have my cell phone number. And I answered it. And sure enough, it's this guy doing a reference check. And he starts to ask me all these questions. And I was just like, oh, yeah, no, she was great, great. What was her responsibilities? And I'm like, oh, well, she... And I just started listing off the general things that, you know, the people that I worked with there were doing. You know, were there any concerns that you had about her? Any struggles? And then I was like, not that I can recall, because really I just couldn't recall anything. And it was just very awkward. But naturally, I was a very nice person. I was very professional. I gave a glowing review. And, you know, I don't know. I never did hear back from her. I didn't get a thank you call or text message saying I got the job. And then a few weeks ago, I got a text from somebody with whom I had worked just recently, a couple of years ago. Not at our office, not at my company. But, you know, I had worked with her closely at another, with a partnership that we had had. And so she had reached out to me and said, you know, is it cool if I use you as a reference? And I was like, yeah, okay, fine, because I did remember her. I knew her. We actually did text, and we talk. We still talk, you know, quite regularly. And I really overdid it, though. Like, I really oversold it, that when she gave her notice at this place, you know, people were disappointed and blah, blah, like, really, really sold it. Just really overdid it. And sure as shit, she ended up getting the job. I'm swearing quite a bit today, aren't I? And we're not going to bleep it, because it's not radio. But anyway, Have you ever used anybody as a job reference, or were you used as a job reference? Would you be honest, or would you lie if you didn't like the person? Send me an email, live@jbonair.com, live@jbonair.com. One more quick reference about Twitter.
We hear you chirping. Get scribbling. Tweet up the scribble at the Scribble Show. Join the discussion with Jeremy Brathy. It's all going down right now on Twitter at the Scribble Show and at thescribbleshow.com.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And again, subscribe, iTunes, SoundCloud, thescribbleshow.com, and chime in, send me an email with your thoughts, live@jbonair.com, live@jbonair.com. I will talk to you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Want more Scribble? Check out thescribbleshow.com for past shows, celebrity interviews, cheapskate tips, and more. That's at thescribbleshow.com and on Twitter at thescribbleshow. The Scribble is a speak-free media presentation.
If you want some real heat, give your mind.